Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help you rate.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program, Felger and Maserati. Monday, May 11th. It's a re-entry Monday. It's presented by East Boston Savings Bank. Felger and Mas presented by DraftKings here on 98.5 The Sports Hub and simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. Maz and Murray remain on location. Maz, how you doing?
Good, you?
Peachy, thank you so much. Big Jim Murray, hi.
Hey, hello.
Hey, hello. Let's talk some football, all right?
Let's do it.
Okay. I'm in.
Couple of football items. Football item number one, Patriots Hall of Fame. Richard Seymour in, Bill Parcells still not in. Your thoughts? Who wants to go first? Murray?
Murray,
yeah.
Go.
Yeah, it's deserved. I mean, Richard Seymour should be in the Team Hall of Fame, but I can't help but wonder if a large segment of the voters, if not all of them, had a blind spot for the names Bill Parcells and Mike Vrabel because, oh, well, they were mean to the team and they made me poop in my diaper and I'm still mad at them. Meh. Parcells should be in. I've said this now for weeks. I knew he wouldn't get in. I don't think he'll probably ever get into the Team Hall of Fame. I've accepted it because all the petty morons who won't vote for him because they're not going to allow it to happen. He should be in. Again, the guy's responsible for drafting a good portion of the players who ended up being massive contributors, the biggest contributors to that first Super Bowl run. Troy Brown, Ty Law, Ted Johnson, Lawyer Malloy, Teddy Bruschi, Willie McGinnis, Adam Vinatieri. Without him, the team's likely in St. Louis, or at the very least, they're still irrelevant and one of the laughing stocks of the league. Period. End of story. I don't care. Well, he was 500 here. He only made the one Super Bowl. He kept calling the Jets on the Super Bowl week. Get over it, you stupid babies. Without him, you're not what you are today. And more importantly, at the very least, without Parcells, you don't get the transition to Bill Belichick. He was under Parcells. Maybe he was the more important part. You want to make that argument? Fine. You might have a case. But without him here, the Crafts never get to sniff the rear of Bill Belichick and realize after Pete, they're like, oh, no, that's the guy. That's who we want to be head coach. So, I don't know. I think you got to get over it and show the man the respect that he deserves. He's a Pro Football Hall of Famer for a reason. He should be in the Team Hall of Fame. But you won't because you're bitter, stupid babies. So congrats to Seymour. He should be in there. But I'm telling you, like, there's spite voting going on. People saw those other names, Vrabel and Parcells, and were like, no, I'm never voting for them.
Murray, do you blame the fans or the team more?
The fans. The team's over it. If the team was still pissed about it, like, these names, Vrabel and Parcells wouldn't be on that ballot if the team was still pissed. They're over it. They're being mature about it now.
So you think the whole thing's on the level?
As much as it can be, yeah.
So, see, I don't. I don't, and it's typically why. I mean, I embrace the topic, appreciate the topic, need the topic. Let's do the topic. The Team Hall of Fame is, like, just sort of not on my radar. I just don't take it seriously. I think it's for kids. I think it's at the kids' table kind of thing. When guys in your Hall of Fame, Kevin Falk is in the Team Hall of Fame, right? Is Matt Light?
Yeah.
Okay, so Kevin Faulk, who wasn't even a starter, he's in there before Seymour or Vrabel or Law. I think he was in there before those guys. It's like, you know what? You just have to do this on your own time. It's just so, like, I don't trust the process, Murray. I think it's rigged, and I think it's team engineered. And as it can be, it should be. It's their Hall of Fame. It's not. This is not a democracy. This is not a. This is not for the people. It is, you know, it's the team's Hall of Fame. So the team gets to do what they want with it. So fine, but that doesn't mean I have to take it seriously. So I generally don't. I don't think the thing's on the level. I've never thought it has been. How is Kevin Faulk in there then to begin with? And oh, by the way, Kevin Faulk is then there. What? And Matt Light's in because he does a lot of team events. He's around the team and, you know, is still sort of in the team's orbit. So he's in, and Kevin Faulk does all sorts of stuff for him. So he's in. And then Kevin Faulk is at, was that the year he was at the draft where Brady was suspended and he comes out with a 12? Like, you know, kids, do that on your own time. So, like, I don't think the thing's on the level, Murray. And I think it does go back to the team. The Crafts put in who they want to put in. Simple as that, which is fine. That's their right. It's their hall.
See, so to me, the fact that Parcells is not in there is exactly why you can't take it seriously. Like, to me, this is a joke. You know, say what you want about Bill Parcells and the way it ended. It didn't end well. But if we are talking about this era in Patriots history, okay, this 25-year span, a little bit more than that, where the Patriots turned into a legitimate franchise, Parcells is one of the founding fathers. How is he not in the team Hall of Fame? I think, and look, I happen to agree that I think it goes beyond just the fan voting. I think that, you know, it feels like there's something shady going on behind the scenes there, or, you know, still some bitterness over the fact that he left in such an ugly manner or whatever. But the fact that he's not in, frankly, is embarrassing. This is the kind of crap that should happen in podunk towns, you know, that don't have anything else. This is supposed to be legitimate. You know, a big sports market, maybe the best sports market in America, maybe the best sports market in the world. Who the hell knows? And we're going to get caught up in this type of rinky-dink politicking and, you know, backstabbing or whatever else? Please. Bill Parcells belongs in the Patriots Hall of Fame. Everybody knows that he belongs in the Patriots Hall of Fame. And it's little stupid petty things like this that take away the legitimacy of it.
So, I mean, if it wasn't the apocalypse, I don't even know if we'd be talking about it, because I really don't spend time on the Patriots Hall of Fame. I don't take it seriously. But now that we're here, there's only one per class, right? They can only vote for one guy, right?
Right.
So let me ask you, if you can only pick one, Seymour, Vrabel, or Parcells, who do you pick?
Seymour.
Parcells.
So Seymour or Vrabel. Like, I mean, I think both are – they were both here longer. They both contributed to more championships, and, you know, Parcells belongs in too. I'm just saying, if I had to rank them, you know, so if it's, and maybe that's how it's rigged, is that they always put Parcells next to someone that, you know, you just, they know fans are going to vote for on top of Bill Parcells. And so, I mean, I would have voted for Seymour over Parcells too. I just would have.
Yeah, I mean, he's deserving. Again, I look at where this team would have been without him here, and who knows? I mean, again, I think that they could still be one of the laughing stocks of the league. And having lived through that, as you did too, I don't know. I just put a lot of stock in that. And I think him not being in there makes it a bit of a joke.
Yeah, Mike, the other thing is if it's a team Hall of Fame, and I understand that there's been a little system set up here in terms of how they do it, why can't they just decide they're going to put him in?
Oh, they can easily. Of course they
can.
Yeah,
so that's what I mean. It's like if whether it be the Crafts or whoever wanted to really make some sort of statement like, hey, look, you know, we're going to intervene here because we think, like, this is an injustice. We're going to take care of it. We're going to make sure that Bill gets in because he belongs in. You put an end to it all right there. And, in fact, they could even come out looking good in the process if you want to spin the PR game. Again, to me, I don't know any other way to say it. The Patriots were a joke before Bill Parcells got here. Now, we can have all kinds of Parcells discussions. There's a million of them. And that's not to say he did leave here in a bad way or that he's a better coach than Belichick or any of that, because we all know that those things aren't true. But he brought legitimacy to professional football in New England. And that, to me, is invaluable for what he did for this area for football and the fact that he isn't in. And again, individual ballots, sure. Like, you, Seymour's more worthy, or, you know, you think Vrabel's more worthy, fine. But as we go right down the line, how many times can you ignore the guy? It's a joke.
Okay, item number one. If the hounds have been disinfected, we may release them at 617-779-0985. You want to weigh in on that? By all means, let's weigh in on that. Maz also has some thoughts on the Dak Prescott contract situation in Dallas and how it may relate to Tom Brady and his time here. This is a developing story across the league. Maz, what are your thoughts there?
Okay, so I look at it and I say, you know, the Cowboys now, Stephen Jones did an interview with Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, and this goes back to last Friday, in which he said, and I'm paraphrasing here, okay, but he said, hey, look, you know, that there is data out there, there are analytics out there that show that if you pay your quarterback too much, you're not going to win the Super Bowl. Or, you know, it's much harder to win the Super Bowl. And they discussed this a little bit this morning on a Get Up on ESPN, and Mike Greenberg made the point that, well, okay, over a 10-20-year period, I forget exactly where ESPN drew the line, but I think it was during this CBA, which is in the last 10 years, that there hasn't been a team to win the Super Bowl that has had a quarterback rank in the top five in the league in terms of cap hit, salary cap hit. And that data is skewed. In fact, if you want to extend it to 20 years, you can do that too, because it's skewed by Tom Brady. Tom Brady played ball with the Patriots and as a result skewed the data because Brady was willing to take less. And in some of those years, Brady ranked 15th, 18th in among the highest paid players in the game in terms of cap hit now. But still, we all know that he should have been number one in every single one of those years. And so I think this is sort of like Brady now has decided that he wants to make money. So he's gone to Tampa Bay and he's gotten paid. But all those years where Brady was doing, you know, doing right by the Patriots, and I'm not necessarily saying that he was wrong to do so, okay? But, boy, he really cut the balls off some of those players in that league.
Huh.
Guys like Dak Prescott. Because Dak Prescott now is going to get it shoved down his throat that you can't win a Super Bowl with a high-paid quarterback because somebody like Tom Brady lowered the bar on that.
Would you pay Dak Prescott $30-plus million a year?
No, I wouldn't. No. I wouldn't because I don't think he is that upper highest level of quarterback. So, but here's the part I don't get is that Dallas says you can't give that much money to your quarterback, but they franchised him. So like, you know, so they're willing to pay him that for 1 year. And I'm presuming if he doesn't sign, they'll pay him that again on a franchise tag the next year. In other words, they're willing to do it in 1 year because they don't want to lose the asset. Like I'm confused all the way around. But because I think that on the one hand, Dallas is saying, well, we're not going to let him walk, but we're not going to pay him $35 million a year. We'll just pay him the 32 or whatever it is for this year and then pay it again next year. And I recognize it's long term versus short term. But, well, which one is it? You know, I sort of feel like the team's got to make a choice there, too.
Okay, so what about the premise that the Joneses, Stephen Jones brings up about paying your quarterback? Do you believe in that?
I don't. I don't. I mean, I don't believe in the premise that you can't pay a quarterback and win. Now, look. If you look over the recent history of the league, you will say, well, wait a minute. Russell Wilson won on his first contract, and then since that time, they haven't won the Super Bowl. Seattle hasn't won the Super Bowl. Pat Mahomes just won in Kansas City, but he's still on his first contract. Let's see how that one plays out over the longer haul. Flacco, once he got paid, hasn't won, and it sucked, and now he's out of the league. So, you know, there is some history of some guys. I'm just telling you that I don't think it applies to all of them.
Can I give you the top 10 cap hits at the quarterback position in the league this year, and you tell me if they're worth it or not?
Sure.
Okay? And you just mentioned it. Number one cap hit in the league is Dak Prescott on that franchise tag, $31.4 million. Is he worth it?
No.
No.
Russell Wilson, two, at $31
million. Yes.
Jared Goff at $29 million is number three.
Goff.
No.
Jimmy Garoppolo is number four at 26.6.
No.
Yes.
You saw the Super Bowl, Maz. Come on, say no. It's no.
But it's 26. It's not 35.
It should be $3.
Okay, but again, quarterbacks are going to make, you know, at a minimum, a good. If you tell me that Jared Goff is worth $20 million, $22 million, $24 million, I say yes.
Yeah, so I mean, let me give the rest of the list, and then you tell me whether 26.6 is worth it. And if you judge it off at 10 minutes, it's. Well, you can judge it off of whatever you want, but I mean, I think they judge it off of more than just those 10 minutes. Phillip Rivers, number five at $25
million. No.
I mean, yes.
Tom Brady tied at $25
million. Yes.
Yeah.
Roethlisberger, number seven at 23.7.
No.
I lean no now, but yes. Historically, yes.
So I need an answer.
Okay, for this year, no.
Thank you. Number 8, Drew Brees, 23.6.
Yes.
Number 9, Ryan Tannehill, 22.5.
God, no.
Number 10, Aaron Rodgers, 21.6.
Yes.
All of a sudden, his real money is through the roof. His real money is 30-plus million or something. But his cap, it's 21.6. He's the 10th highest cap. You know, that's almost value. As much as I think he slipped, he's still a top 5-6 guy, I think. Derek Carr is number 11 at 21.5.
Ugh, no.
Yes.
Yeah. Alex Smith, number 12 at 21.4.
No. Yes.
No, he's hurt. No. Jacoby Brissett, number 13 at 21.3.
No.
No. How did he get up there? I don't get that. Matt Stafford is 14 at 21.3.
Yes.
Yes.
Kirk Cousins is 15 at 21 million.
Yes.
Yes, he's worth that cap hit. Now, again, it's not real money. It's not AAV. That's just how the cap hits have been connoitered this show. We all know what cap hits are worth. It's just the page that came up just wanted to play that exercise. If I gave you AAVs, all those numbers would be a little bit different. But in terms of pure cap hits, I don't know. I didn't keep track of who was worth it, who wasn't, but I don't know. Was it 50-50? Was it even 50-50? Those guys being worth those cap hits? So do the Joneses have a point? That's on the list. Okay, that's on the list. And the Patriots Hall of Fame, you have any issues with it? 617-779-0985. Two calls right after this.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything, and that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
As you know, Mike, the salary cap makes this a zero-sum game for owners. This is not something where Jerry and myself are trying to save money so the Cowboys can make more money for the Jones family. We're just trying to do our very best working with Mike, working with Will McClay to really divide up the pie in the best way possible to win a Super Bowl. You know, there's all sorts of analytics out there that show if your quarterback takes up too big a percentage of your salary cap, that, you know, it decreases your chances to win. So just trying to figure out the right fit. No one wants to sign back to a longer-term deal more than Jerry and myself. We're on the record time and time again on what we think of him as a leader. He has the it factor. He's a fierce competitor. He wants to win as well. And it's just got to be right for him and right for us. We'll continue to work to a conclusion on that.
So that's Stephen Jones. Murray, I don't know if you had time to work on your Stephen Jones. But Jerry Jones.
It's not as dirty.
It's definitely not. That's the kid. And he says there, Maz,
Analytics will show you that you can meet nicer girls through Bumble or Tinder, not whores like Daddy.
The analytics show that the more you devote to your quarterback, you know, blah, blah, blah. So do you believe in that? That the more you spend on your quarterback, the less, you know, the worse off your football team's going to be? Or does Brady just skew that whole thing?
Murray, go ahead.
Well, no, I mean, that's like the question, because Tom Brady's Tom, with all those contracts that Tom Brady took, he's the guy. But I mean,
well, Maz mentioned one of them. I mean, two immediately come to mind that got, you know, highly paid in the last decade, and I think it really screwed their team. And one is Joe Flacco, and the other is Matt Ryan. Both those teams kind of went into the gutter as soon as those guys got massive amounts of money.
Okay, but look, even in the case of Ryan, okay, they were up 28-3 in the Super Bowl. I mean, it's not like they didn't even get close, right? And so, like I would tell you, would I make Ryan one of the five highest-paid quarterbacks in the league? No. But is he in the top 10? Maybe. I mean, so again, I just think that, first of all, Brady does manipulate the data or affect the data. I think that is fair. And I have it in front of me, and all I could find was the salary data from the last 10 years. But among quarterbacks now, Brady, 11th, 18th, and tied for 11th in the last 10 years. Brady right there, you change those three numbers to number one, which is what Brady should have been.
I'm sorry.
Then the whole argument changes.
Okay. And you didn't make clear what you're talking about there. Where Brady ranked in terms of cap hits in the league.
Correct.
Okay, so the years he won the Super Bowl, he ranked. In 2018, he ranked 11th in the league in cap hit. In 2016, he ranked 18th in the league in cap hit. And in 2014, he was tied for 11th in the league in cap hits among quarterbacks. So that's what you're talking about. And that does skew it. Although, Maz, as your chart does show, Mahomes had the 32nd highest cap hit last year on his rookie contract. Nick Foles, getting backup money, had the 47th ranked cap hit when he won the Super Bowl and beat the Patriots in 2017. The only two top 10 guys, no surprise here, both Mannings. Peyton Manning was number 6 in 2015, and Eli was number 4 in 2011. Again, cap hits among quarterbacks. The rest of the guys were out. You know, Russell Wilson was 52. His cap hit was 52, and he won on his rookie contract in 2013. So, you know, there's great quarterbacks on that list. It's just they won when they were rookies, so does that skew it? I guess what Maz is driving at is it a mistake to overpay your quarterback?
Well, okay, so again, it depends on the quarterback, okay? Because if you're Kansas City, are you going to go to Patrick Mahomes and say, listen, you know, we can only pay you $25 million because we can't win the Super Bowl otherwise? Are you really going to do that? And do you believe that? Because let's use Brady as an example. Okay, if Mahomes is now the best in the league or the best in the game. Brady in those rankings that you just read, again, in their last three Super Bowls among quarterbacks, Brady ranked 11th in salary cap hit, 18th, and 11th. Okay, those three times. Is that why the Patriots won the Super Bowl those years?
Oh, that's what people used to tell me. Since Brady left and there was the whole palace queue and everything and everyone's taken aside, I hear it less. But it used to be. I used to hear it all the time. Didn't we hear this constantly? Oh, the reason they win, Falcons, because Brady takes less and they're smart with their money. Like, that used to be a big storyline of why they won. I don't believe it. I don't believe it at all. I believe all it did is increase the profit margin. The Pats could have spent more on their team and won just as much. Maybe won even a little bit more if they had spent a little bit more. So I don't believe that one bit.
And Mike, not too long ago, we looked at a list of actual dollars spent, I think, in the NFL over the last 5 years or something to that effect.
No, total cash spending in the old CBA. So the full 10-11 year sample, the Patriots ranked 15th in real money spent, 15th. Okay,
which means that they had plenty of more money to spend.
Correct.
During those years.
Correct.
And so that the Brady savings really that doesn't do anything
other than increase their profit margin, as I just said.
And you remember who was last?
Oh, Dallas, I think.
Okay, so again, like I look at that, it was Dallas. And we were all stunned by that.
Right.
But the point being is Dallas has got all this room in terms of actual dollars spent. They can't give it to the quarterback. So now again, see, I think there are almost two different arguments. One is, would you give it to Prescott? My answer is, no, I don't think that Prescott is Aaron Rodgers at his peak or Russell Wilson or Patrick Mahomes. I don't think he's one of those guys. But that the argument they're making is complete bullcrap. It's complete bullcrap because they could pay Prescott and still have enough money to pay some of the other guys.
Okay, we've got that and Patriots Hall of Fame, which is what Cam and Taunton wants to lead us off with today. Go ahead, Cam.
Guys, you know, I find it hilarious how far Parcells deserves it, in my opinion. He does. But there are more deserving people. This is hysterical because what this really is he gave you guys great sound. So you're coming to his defense. And Maz, you're a BBWAA voter. You have no right to lecture anyone on a Hall of Fame's credibility because your Hall of Fame's credibility blows.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not my Hall of Fame, Cam, but I appreciate the shout out.
Yeah, as I said earlier, I'd vote for Seymour over Parcells too. But Kevin Falk, laughable. Matt Light, laughable. Oh, but they're good with the team, and they do things for the team post-career. So I can't take you seriously as a Hall of Fame. The Baseball Hall of Fame has way more integrity. So think of that. Chew on that for a second. The Baseball Hall of Fame is 10 times more legitimate than the Patriots Hall of Fame. Give me a break. Dave in Plymouth. Go ahead, Dave.
Question for you guys. If James Orthwine doesn't hire Parcells, does Bob Kraft buy the team and keep it here in New England?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so, too.
You think
too.
So?
Oh, yeah, he was angling for it, Dave. We're just up against him. We'll let you go. Kraft was masterful, did a brilliant job. He bought the parking lots first and the stadium, so he triangulated it. And no matter what happened, he was going to buy. That's what he was doing. He was leveraging those two things against the team, and he owned the racetrack, right? So he owned the land all around the stadium. Then he owned the stadium. And so, to me, frankly, if Kraft might have gotten it for a better price, frankly, if Parcells wasn't here, Maz. And, you know, like Parcells was here for a year before he bought the team, right? Orthwine hired him. So it's like, I think if Parcells wasn't here, Kraft might have even gotten it for a better price. I think Parcells rose the value of the team, which is why I think Orthwine hired him in the first place. So we continue with your thoughts. Here comes Big Jim Murray's update. We're starting with some football here on a Reentry Monday presented by East Boston Savings Bank.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything, and that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Go some, Felger. How about a mere cup, but you are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay him.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Listen to Big Jim Murray during his update there. Stuff from Gary Myers, New York Daily News, longtime established NFL reporter, sort of out of nowhere, tweeted this afternoon that, here's how it started. Hard to present in order of why Tom Brady didn't want to return to the Patriots, but one thing has been very much overlooked, according to an excellent source, his deteriorating relationship with offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels. Tom was worn out by Josh after all these years. That surprised me, says Myers. Next tweet. They made it seem like they were brothers fighting after sideline blowups. Worse than that, Brady also wanted more input into game plan. Also, he knew it was final season in New England and said when he didn't trust receivers, didn't want to throw to them. Bad look. Pats lacked reliable receiver other than Edelman. Final tweet. So in my opinion, here's why Brady is not in New England. In no order. Was worn out by Belichick. No fun in New England. Next, create competition with Belichick to see who could win Super Bowl without the other. 3, tired of McDaniels. 4, wanted more money and more than a one-year deal. 5, talent around him diminished. 6, warm weather. So again, he says in no order, but he did bullet point those. Maz, how do you take these McDaniels reports?
Oh, I think they're true. And again, I look, Jimmy Stewart is over the years. Jimmy Stewart, our producer, has every once in a while give us a stew source that ends up being pretty much dead on. I mean, you want to start rattling him off, Kyrie Irving, like we'll go right down the line. Jimmy said this a while ago, and I think there's some truth to it. And so, again, now does this mean like, you know, they weren't talking to each other and giving each other the finger every time, you know, the other one turned around? Like, I don't know if it was that bad, but were they burned out and did they all need a change? Yeah. Yeah, and I think that includes McDaniels, yes.
And I think it's true, but I don't blame McDaniels. I think Tommy became quite the handful, didn't he? He became quite the handful here at the end. I don't like you. I don't like working for you. You're too mean. You're too mean. I want to go to warm weather. Like, I don't like him. I'm not going to throw to him. Like, holy moly, Tommy. I think he became quite the piece of work here towards the end. Tom Brady did.
I don't think there's any question. And Mike, let's not forget the piece that you know, McDaniels wanted to, you know, ultimately they started to squeeze Brady out of dealing with the young receivers at the end because they didn't want him to have a negative influence on them.
So, you know, I think maybe Brady, and it wasn't as overt, but, you know, got a little bit of the Aaron Rodgers flu here at the end, the Dan Marino flu in New England. And it just leads me to believe, you know, all the more that they made the right call. So what, to make Tommy happy, they were going to have to blow out Bill, blow out Josh, go out, sign a whole nother raft of a-holes like Antonio Brown just to make him happy. And then the weather was never going to be there for you, Tommy. Sorry. It's not nice weather. And your wife hates it here. So, like, you know, what are we supposed to do? I mean, what were they supposed to do for the guy? And pay you one of these contracts we're talking about at 43 years old when you're slipping a little bit? Like, come on. So, you know, welcome to Tampa. Enjoy the little strip of AstroTurf in Jeter's backyard there.
I just wonder if there might have been another team interested, you know, because it was only Tampa and nobody else, right? When going into the offseason, we thought it was going to be maybe the Raiders, the Chargers, maybe the New York Giants. Like, the market was going to be big for Tom Brady, and then it wasn't. And I wonder if this might have affected the market if a team dug a little bit deeper and saw that was a fractured relationship. Say, Jimmy, would you know anything about that?
I would wonder if, say, a team like the Chargers, they wanted to blow at Anthony Lynn and pursue Josh McDaniels as a head coach and maybe bring in Tom Brady as their quarterback, thinking that there was a good relationship there, and maybe draft a quarterback to be groomed for the future as well. And once the Chargers maybe did their own digging on the relationship of Tom Brady and Josh McDaniels, that it was fractured, and maybe the Chargers decided to extend Anthony Lynn and not pursue Josh McDaniels or Tom Brady.
So that whole, you know, like I thought it'd be, I mean, I didn't, I believe me, I listened to Jimmy all year and I trust his sources and all of that, but I just thought it'd be a natural. You bring in Josh, you bring in Brady, and you turn it over. If you're the Chargers, like, that's a natural. Maybe the Chargers felt the same thing until they started doing their due diligence and realized, oh, Tom hates Josh. That ain't going to help us get Tom Brady by bringing in Josh McDaniels. We're better off sticking with, you know, Tom wants to change the scenery, including the coaching. And so maybe that's why Bruce Arians and Tampa actually won that, because it was a fresh approach. It was a different coach, because Tommy has to have the game plan, and the coach has to be nice to Tommy, and he has to have nice weather. And it's because Tommy's got to be set up in a perfect little spot now. And so that's why Tampa was a spot for him. Makes sense now. Jim in Linfield. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, I'm calling about Seymour in the Hall of Fame, Patriots Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Do you remember the Giants game, the first one, when the guy caught the ball on his head?
Sure.
In the backfield, Seymour had Eli both arms around him, and he got away.
Had him. So did he keep him out of the Hall of Fame for that?
Yes.
Oh, come on, Jim. Don't be so hard.
And the next year, I think he got traded, didn't he?
So I think Seymour slipped at the end of his career. I mean, the end of his Patriots tenure. He was, I used to have a bigger thing about Seymour, but I'm not, you know, I've sort of let it go. I'm kind of over it. He belongs in the Team Hall of Fame. I mean, it's not even close. He belongs in the Team Hall of Fame. He probably belongs in Canton. Okay. I mean, he was a really, really good player. I think if you want the real, you know, the full story with him, I think at the end, his play fell off here. I think his play tailed off a little bit towards the end of his Patriots tenure. I think when he got to Oakland, he was, you know, more or less just a guy. And I think it happens a lot with defensive linemen, by the way, where they have like three or four dominant years and you just can't, maybe it's just so physically exacting that there's just, you know, Reggie White was dominant year one and year 10. But mostly these guys have like flashes of 3, 4, 5 years, and then it's sort of,
yeah, they drop off. Look at a guy like Javon Kearse. That's always who comes to mind. Like, it's like he's the freak, and for a few years he's unstoppable, and then he's just a guy.
I mean, there's a million.
By the time, like, year 5, year 6 rolls around.
And Dominican Sue, like, yeah. I'd be stunned if Aaron Darnold was the same guy for 10 years. He's on this run right now where he's just the top defensive lineman. He's this unstoppable force. But I don't know. Those D linemen tend to hit a wall. And so I think Seymour hit a wall. He hit a wall around 06, somewhere in there. And he became a little bit of a reputation guy. And so, and he also wanted to pound the crap out of me. So, you know, maybe it was a little personal. He didn't love me. Boy, for his first 3, 4, 5 years, ooh, he was a force. He was a dominant force. And he absolutely belongs in the Team Hall of Fame. And again, probably Canton when it's all said and done. And the fact that a guy like Kevin Falk, who I like too, but please. You know, that guy's in the Hall of Fame, or even Matt Light's in the Hall of Fame before Richard, the team Hall of Fame before Seymour. It's a joke, which leads me to not take the Patriots team Hall of Fame seriously, but Seymour belongs in there. Long commercial-free segment, this stuff with Brady and McDaniels, the contract stuff, the Hall of Fame stuff, all on the board with you right after this.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything, and that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Colin Cowherd of Fox and Fox Sports.
Felger and Maz.
Best afternoon show in America.
Mike Felger.
Felger's a smart aleck.
Tony Maserati.
You know your baseball.
Felger and Maz.
A great show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I understand that in the 10 years since this CBA, we haven't had a top-paid quarterback win a Super Bowl, but it's not because it can't be done or it shouldn't be done. It's just because it hasn't happened. It's not like Matt Ryan didn't have a 25-point lead in the second half of the Super Bowl. Like that team, Matt Ryan was the third highest-paid quarterback in the league, and Manning's been to the Super Bowl two separate times when he was one of the top two or three highest-paid quarterbacks in the league. It's only been 10 years of this new CBA, so people assuming that it can't happen just because it hasn't happened just means that there hasn't been a GM good enough to build a team around them, or luck has gone against some of those teams. It's not putting it on Dak just to me feels unfair. Take responsibility for your job. Dak's done more than you asked of him up until this point. Now it's time for you to step up and pay him.
Or, Dominique, it has been skewed by Tom Brady, whose historical greatness has kind of changed the math on all of this. That's and fair. Whether it is the reason or not, he did always take less money than he could have, so that while he clearly was, at most of this time, the best quarterback in the league, he wasn't paid like it.
So that's that conversation Maz was talking about. I guess two separate arguments. It's, would you pay any quarterback that? Is it, as Stephen Jones said earlier, do the analytics show that the more you pay your quarterback, the less, you know, chance you have to win Super Bowls? You know, it, there's that whole thing. And then there's, is the player worth it? You know what I mean, Maz? So, like, what, the Chiefs aren't going to pay Pat Mahomes, like you said? Or, you know, Peyton Manning, even though he, you know, came up short, he wasn't worth that money. And if the Patriots had paid Tom Brady what he was worth and he didn't take the discounts, they had the room to still surround him. He would have won the exact same. They just wouldn't have ranked 15th in real spending. They would have ranked 8th, you know, or whatever. It's no, the problem is when you pay a guy who's not worth it, Joe Flacco, that's the issue. So where's Dak Prescott? Is he closer to Joe Flacco or Pat Mahomes?
Oh, he's right, exactly. He's closer to Flacco, if you ask me.
Right.
But again, only because I think Mahomes is really, you know, he's a unique player. I just think it's a cop-out on a part of the Cowboys. Like, well, you know, the analytics show you really shouldn't commit that amount of money to your quarterback. Oh, so the Seahawks are stupid.
Right.
Like, no, of course they're not stupid. You pay that guy. And the other thing about the Dallas argument is you sit there and say, well, wait a minute. So now you're saying that you can't give that amount of money to the quarterback. But you'll sign both Ezekiel Elliott and Amari Cooper to contracts that some people think are stupid. So you'll give, you know, and again, I'm not saying that I pay Prescott. I just think that it's a disingenuous argument. They're using it now. And this is the one thing I blame Brady for. And look, nobody in New England cares because the fact is that all they care about is what he does for the benefit of the Patriots. But in terms of how, you know, if you look at it as players versus owners, there are other quarterbacks in the league, especially, not to mention Patriots players in general, who look at Brady and say, dude, I know you want to win, but you've really cut the legs off a lot of other people in the process because now they're going to use you as some sort of standard for which quarterbacks should be willing to do or players should be willing to do. And if we don't, they're going to tell us to go packing.
So I don't think there's any question about that. And I wonder if some of those quarterbacks are resentful of Brady. I doubt it. You know, I don't feel it. I don't sense it, Maz, out there. But, I mean, there's a case there that I think Brady has. Well, I mean, look, he's given the Joneses the right to say, well, look at what Tom did. And that's,
right.
You know, that's it. If I were Prescott, that would annoy me. But I don't know. I don't sense that resentment. As promised, back to your calls on everything we've hit on so far. Michael in New Hampshire on this very topic. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, guys, I wanted to talk a little bit on the salary cap for quarterbacks. I mean, you look at Jared Goff, you look at people like that, and, I mean, they're not deserving of it, and you can't really win at a high level with, like, those types of quarterbacks. Not that they're, like, not high-level quarterbacks, but, I mean, if you overpay a quarterback, I think you just put a tremendous amount of pressure on him, and you just can't really win with him, you know what I mean?
Well, no, the guy's got to be worth it. So if you're going to pay Jared Goff as a top-three guy, you're porked. If you're going to pay Pat Mahomes and, you know, even Aaron Rodgers is a top three guy, well, they're good enough. I mean, like, those guys can carry you, and they've proven they can carry you, and they've carried teams in the past. You know, so if you want to go AAV, all right, not cap hit, actual average annual value per year, it is a different list, as I mentioned before. Russell Wilson, number one at 35. Is he worth it?
Yes.
Ben Roethlisberger, number two at 34.
No.
No, not anymore.
No, agreed. Jared Goff, number three at 33.5.
No.
Tied with Aaron Rodgers at number three at 33.5.
He ultimately is, but now that's high for him considering his play the last 2 years.
Right. I don't think he's the third best guy, but at least he has the talent to live up to that. I still think he does. You know, he doesn't have the head and he's, you know, like, yeah, I'm down on Aaron Rodgers, but look, if Goff is not worth 33.5, then Aaron Rodgers, you can make a case is. Anyway, Kirk Cousins, number five at 33.
No.
No.
No. Carson Wentz, number six at 32.
No.
I say yes, I like Wentz, but that's a personal bias.
So I go yes there too. Now Dak Prescott on the franchise tag is 31.4, seventh in the league.
No.
No.
No. Matt Ryan is eighth at 30.
No.
No.
Close.
Almost.
I mean, I lean yes there, but go ahead.
Okay, I'm a no. Ryan Tannehill is now 9 at 29.5.
No way.
No. Now Garoppolo at 10 at 27.5.
No.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes, because that's where I think Garoppolo is. I think he's at the bottom of the top 10 in the league.
Right, so again, he's at 80% of what the highest paid guy in the league is.
Yeah.
Right? Which puts him at a B. Right, again, 80% is a B. So, you know, to me, if you use that scale, he's worth it.
Yeah, he's in the top third of the league. So I think that's fair. His cap hit was ranked a little bit too high. I think he had the third highest cap hit. But the AAV is now in line. When he signed it, I think he was the number one guy, which obviously he didn't live up to. Frank in Rosendale on Brady. Go ahead, Frank.
Hey, guys. Quick question. I mean, is it possible, hypothetical, that Brady, for the years that he was here, he took less money every time his contract came up? You know, is it possible that Kraft said to him at one point, you know what, I'll throw you $5 million to Bridget Moynihan. Take care of your kid.
No. Those are salary cap violations, Frank. Did he help him get a little piece of land there in Brookline? No, that's a salary cap violation. He gave him a sweetheart deal on the lease there at Patriot Place. You can't do that. Those are salary cap violations, Frank. So, no. I think they preyed on Brady's, you know, sort of, insecurity isn't quite the right word, but sixth round pick, you know, wasn't a starter on his high school team, was fourth string, fifth string at Michigan, you know, always had to fight for his job and, you know, be on the border of his job. And he always felt that if I bust balls on contracts that, you know, maybe this hurts my, you know, he just, even though it wouldn't have, I mean, it just sort of was in the back of his mind and part of his mentality, and the Patriots took advantage of it, is what I think it was.
Yeah, I think insecurity is the right word. And again, I don't say this as a criticism of Brady, because everybody has them. I mean, the guy came out of nowhere, he got an opportunity, and he made it count. And it doesn't mean he didn't believe himself or anything else, but I think he understood the fickle nature of it, or the delicate nature of it. And so he said, you know, what was that line that he said to Scott Pioli? If I can't live on,
right,
you know, $10 million a year, $20 million a year, there's something wrong with me. And, you know, I think he understood, I'll take what I can get. It's a good deal.
Yeah, no. I mean, good. And good for him. Like, this is
right.
It's part of his greatness that he did not, you know, cause issues at the negotiating table and work with the team. And that's part of his greatness and his longevity here. But I do wonder if he looks back at it now and says, boy, I was kind of dumb.
Maybe.
Because again, the real money spending from the old CBA, a 10, 11 year sample, not drawing the line where we want to, a 2 or 3 years or 5 or 6 to make him look good or bad. The entire breadth of the last CBA is in. And the Patriots ranked right in the middle of the league, 15th in terms of real money, not cap money, which they can make look like anything. And they always make it look like they spend to the cap. But it turns out they were right in the middle of the league. So they could have spent a heck of a lot more and still surrounded Brady with the same amount of talent, because everybody else did. 14 other teams did. So they could have done it. I wonder if Brady looks at that number and says, huh, so where did that money go then? You know, I just wonder. And that doesn't make the Crafts bad people or anything. It's just, you know, it's business and it's owners and players and this back and forth. And I wonder if Brady looks back and says, I got played a little bit on that one.
Oh, I bet you he does, because again, now he knows better. Now, at the time, he didn't. And so again, it's not like he did it deliberately to put more money in the owner's pockets. And at the end of the day, you know, you said a little while ago, you don't sense that other players resent him. And I think you're right. I don't think the other players do resent him. But if they're smart, they resent ownership for trying to pull it. So if I'm Dak Prescott, I'm looking and saying, hey, Tom Brady made a decision that he was comfortable with. Okay, that's fine. He's all, you know, and if I were Dak Prescott, I would also say he's got a wife who's a supermodel, makes more than he does. So he can do it that way. I don't want to do it that way because I don't think that's right. So don't go shoving Tom Brady down my throat.
But, I'll send Dak Prescott those numbers. The Dallas Cowboys were dead last in real money spending in the last CBA. Dead last. The most valuable franchise on the planet was dead last in real money spent. What frauds. Oh, my God. You know, we give the Patriots a little bit of grief for not spending as much as they could. How about in Dallas? How about that? There's no excuse down there. I mean, at least, the Pats won here. It was part of their formula. In there, they haven't won crap, you know, in forever, and they were dead last in real money spending. If I'm Dak Prescott, you know, I tell him to go screw. Now, but if I'm the Cowboys, I'm being honest about it. So the Cowboys blame the salary cap, which is garbage. Garbage, garbage, garbage. Where the Cowboys have a case is by saying, you're not that good. You're not that good. You aren't Russell Wilson. You aren't Pat Mahomes. You aren't Tom Brady. You aren't Aaron Rodgers. You aren't one of those guys. So we're not going to pay you for more than you're worth. Well, yeah, we have the money. Of course we have the money. Can we figure out the cap? Of course we can figure out the cap. You're not worth it. Like, that's the then they're on firm ground. But this thing about the salary cap, screw. Go pound sand. If I were Prescott, I'd tell him to go pound sand on the cap, too. That's garbage.
I mean, it's just a weaselly thing to do because you're talking about the second or third most valuable franchise in all of sports. All of sports, not just the NFL.
No, right. I think they're number one on the planet, aren't they? Is it them and then Manchester United? Something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it's 1-2. It's 1-2 either way.
Or Yankees, right? I mean,
three. They're right there. It's like a $5 billion franchise.
Cowboys, Yankees, Man U. Like, those are the rankings. And they're right there. And they spent the least amount on their payroll in the last CBA than any team in the league. That's a disgrace.
It's almost as if that money had to go to something else.
That's ridiculous.
What could that be?
We're going to continue with your thoughts on this. It is a Reentry Monday. It is presented by East Boston Savings Bank. I do want to get to some stuff about the return of sports and one sport that is steamrolling ahead with their business. We'll get to that next hour with your calls. First, though, Murray, a 90-second update without any commercials.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything, and that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.